We've already started. It's well, it's not live, but we're recording. You're about there.
No, it's actually recording.
Does anyone want to take the lead on the intro rather than me for a change? Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Should we spice it up?
No, not me. Amy, go on.
I wait for you to like take the lead. Yeah, you take the lead. Kate's like, nah, denied.
Well, ladies and gents, welcome back to, I want to say episode 6, but I feel like we're starting again of the She Who Dares podcast because it's been pretty much 18 months since I think we last recorded together, right?
Yeah. Oh, that sounded really voluntary. Yeah.
It's been a really pretty long much. Time. What's that meme from that, like, woman off the Titanic? That's us, basically.
Oh, yeah, 84 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which one? Because I'm completely lost.
Do you know the old you lady know. When she drops the gem into the water? She's like, is it something like that? She's like, it's been 84 years.
All right, I know which one you're on about now. I get it.
Yeah.
So we'll dive into a little life recap. A lot's changed for the three of us in 18 months, I'd say. Katie, do you want to go first?
Sure. So... I mean, I guess the last time that we recorded, I was going through some bits and pieces. I basically got sacked. I'm just gonna say it. It's not as spicy as it sounds, but you know, maybe it's something I can talk about another time. So that happened, and obviously I thought that was it, and you know, life was over as I knew it. But yeah, little did I know it was just the universe pushing me in the right direction. And yeah, I've had a complete career change, and yeah, life's pretty sweet. I've got a rabbit of their non-sexual nature.
Yeah, one that you don't put batteries in, mate. I hope not.
Yeah, no, he's very cute, and his name's Roo. So yeah, life's pretty sweet. I can't complain.
What about you, Amy?
Yeah, I don't feel like I've had such dramatic life change, because the last time we did record the podcast, Katie was, bless her, in a really strange place and was trying not to say the whole way through that she'd just been fired. It was literally that day, wasn't it, or something? And I remember us just trying to get through that podcast and keep your morale really high. But similarly, I guess I've had a job change, which was not expected. I've gone back to Harley Davidson. I was previously with them, so I'm with them now. I've ended up moving away from the beach, which I found, and we can talk about this another time and stuff, but very difficult. I've moved back into the Midlands because it's closer to work, and I moved in with my partner, Matt, which again is a whole other story for another time. I just, boys, you know what it's like. And yeah, just trying to adjust the life like that, because I openly talked about how much I love living by the seaport, and that really has been a massive life change. I probably wasn't ready for, if I'm honest, but I've had to adjust to it pretty quickly. So yeah, and actually trying to get back into the flow of things now, because last year was so, like, I think that's why we didn't end up recording, because last year just felt like so many massive changes, and just trying now to set into just living a kind of more normal life and not having to run around changing everything all the time. So that's been pretty mad. And Sophie, that leads nicely into you, because I know you, out of all of us, you've also had a great
Do
oh
tell.
My God. I'm trying to think back what was going on when we last recorded. I was in my lovely house, wasn't I? That I loved. Ended up moving up to the seaside about 3 hours away from home. That going completely tits up. Ended up moving, as everything always seems to do. Ended up moving back to the Midlands. So same as you, Amy, like We both love surfing. We both love being by the sea. So having to come away from that was pretty weird in itself. Moving back to the Midlands, getting made redundant. And then life kind of clicked up a gear since then. So rather than me thinking, oh my God, my life has ended. I've got no job. I don't know what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. I ended up creating a magazine, and then I ended up traveling around the world for the next year, I'd say, with motorcycles and presenting jobs. And yeah, it's all been a bit freaking mad.
Girl power.
But you made a very valid point, Katie. I feel like sometimes when stuff gets removed from your life and things break down, it's not a case of rejection or something going wrong. It's a case of redirection. That's the way I've kind of looked at it anyway.
Yeah, the way I also like to think of it is like a bow and arrow. And it's like when something's pulling you back, it's because you're about to spring into like a whole other realm and a whole other place, and it's just projecting you forward.
Like, I don't know about you girls, but like I made a bit of a pact. This was sort of towards the start of last year when things started to go a little bit south. I don't know if you, there's a train keeps going past if you wonder what that random noise is. So I made a bit of a pact that every opportunity that came towards me or got presented in front of me, I said yes to everything. So that really kind of put, like, completely pushed me out of my comfort zone with some things. And then I ended up in China for a month in November, like going and covering motorcycles and filming them and, yeah, going all over Europe. And it's been freaking mental.
I love that. It's there's a book by a woman called Shonda Rhimes, who she wrote and I think directed like Grey's Anatomy and some other shows, like that one about that Russian woman or whoever she was called Anna. I don't know, some Netflix show, and it's really good. But anyway, she wrote a book about a year of saying yes, and she just kind of was this person that would always say no, and make excuses. And it was like the transformation in her life and the opportunities that presented themselves just from being more open and saying yes and pushing herself out of her comfort zone was just like mind blowing. And it's really, really cool.
So people can't see that's obviously listening to the podcast right now, but Amy was quite famous for her Britney headphone microphone setup. So what the hell has happened to that?
Oh, I know, devastation. I did try and use it. It's even here ready to go, which people are listening to think. But when I joined, I was talking and no one could hear me, so I was like, it's literally died to death, and the microphone just gave up on me. So I have promised to invest, because my sound's probably gonna be the worst quality out of everyone's, promised to invest in a microphone to actually like do it properly. So I did try to revive Britney, but it's not happening. I was so proud when I had that last time. So proud. Just not this time round, unfortunately. But going back to what you were saying earlier about like life sometimes throwing stuff at you, I feel like I feel like everyone goes through periods of time where that just generally happens. And last year, I think for all of us at different points, it felt like that was happening anyway. Like slight chaos was happening in some of us are running with it better than others. Like I felt at times like I was not running with it at all. But it's funny how at the time it feels like everything's just being ripped apart. Like when something goes wrong, you're like, this is dreadful. And then, like you say, an opportunity comes towards you, or you get given an opportunity or something, and it just totally transforms your life. And you're like, God, like that was what that was all about. But it's really hard to see that sometimes. Mm-hmm. Even as I've got older and I still go through that, I still find that initial ripping apart really difficult. But it's just having to learn how to sort of navigate through that next bit and understand that it's okay to feel the pain and kind of sit with it, and then like just evolve to the next phase of it. still hard to learn. It's still difficult, even no matter how many times you go through it, I think.
100%. Yeah. You have to just, like, feel and honour those emotions as well when you're going through them. Like, it's going to make you feel shit. And it's, hindsight's a great thing. And if we all had it, we'd all be living in, like, la-la land all the time. But it's not reality. And, you know, it's just the way it is sometimes. But it makes whatever's coming that much better when you get to it, 100%.
I always have a little bit of a saying when stuff like that starts to go wrong. I'm always like, just put your seatbelt on. Get your seatbelt on, buckle up, because it's going to be a bit shit for a while, but the outcome will be hell of a lot better than what it is right now.
It's going to be a bumpy ride.
Yep.
Yeah. And I do think everyone looks like they've got their life together on social media all the time, and this made it harder sometimes to go through that stuff, because you're like, when someone's actually going through something terrible, you can be posting something that's completely not about what you're going through. It's actually... social media is a very public wall of display of what's going on. But, you know, I'm sort of the same. I don't necessarily post everything that I'm thinking and feeling on social media, because it's not for everyone to kind of go through. So it always looks like other people have got their lives together. And then when you actually talk to people behind the scenes, you're like, oh, their life's falling apart as well. Great, perfect. We're all in the same. So it's not always what you feel. Like, a lot of the time that makes it worse when you go online. You're like, oh, look at that perfect life. And then you listen to what they're saying about something else. You're like, oh, they're actually going through some shit, and that just is very much a portrait of what they want people to kind of think they're going through. So yeah, it's all very deceiving, and I've learned to listen to that lesson, I think, as I got a bit older and a bit less into social media.
Hang on, Amy's having a coughing fit. She's still going. So on that note, I think of one of the perfect examples, if we're talking about the perfection of how social media is portrayed, that sort of stuff, like Valentine's Day this year, I thought was like taken up a level by everyone. Like, Amy, you need to unmute yourself.
It just gets worse and worse.
Sorry, I was coughing at you. Sorry.
We can't hear you nodding, Amy.
I'm like... Yeah, furious.
Yeah, 100%. It's like anything though, like that now. It's just becoming more and more commercialized, and you know, who can show what, and it's keeping up with the next person, and it doesn't mean anything. Like, it doesn't display how much someone loves you or how perfect someone's lives are, and you know, all that crap. It's just, I purposely didn't post anything. Like, you know, Josh, bought me flowers and stuff, and it's lovely, but that's between me and him. I don't feel like I have to show that to everybody else to be like, look at me, you know, and I'm the same as everyone else, because it's just, for me, it's not what it's about. And so, like, I guess, like, from you being single as well, you've got a completely different perspective on it again.
Yeah, I actually found it quite... I wouldn't say triggering is the correct terminology for it. But yeah, I absolutely hated it. Like, I use social media, a lot for my job. So having every 2 seconds, something like that being like shoved down your throat, when in reality, that's not what's happening to me right now, or something like that, can be really kind of make you feel a bit shit, you know?
Yeah, definitely. That makes sense. Were you in a relationship last Valentine's Day, Soph?
Yeah.
So
just about.
Like a different experience again. Yeah.
Clinging on to it. We've all been there.
It's all right. I definitely think it's so easy to compare to kind of like when you've had a positive experience with that. And then, you know, how much, like we say, how much life has changed, and then a year down the line and it's the complete opposite, and you're just like, oh, right, what the fuck's going on now then? Like, where do I go from here?
Yeah.
Sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's just very odd. I found it very odd this year.
Yeah. But in saying that, I felt like the whole Galentine's Day thing was a lot more promoted, and the whole, like, self-love and like love yourself mm-hmm. first and things like that was, I think it was pretty up there with like the generic soppy shit, mm-hmm. normal generic Valentine's, you know, we're having different strings of Valentine's now for all people. Yeah. So yeah. It's, I think that's good in a way, but it doesn't mean anything at the end of the day. Like all that stuff is just created to, you know, for people to spend more money on crap that they don't need to prove something mm. that doesn't need to be proven if it's true and genuine. Mm. Mm-hmm. You don't need mm-hmm. a day at the end of the day to, you know, make it real.
I agree. Mm-hmm. And half the time, some of this stuff that we're seeing on social media is someone saying, I love my boyfriend so much, he got me these flowers, but they're actually sat in different rooms in the house and it's all to show. Like, I'm not saying that's everyone's relationship, because I appreciate some people genuinely are really connected. It's great that you want to talk about that on social media.
Some people do like each other.
Yeah, some people do actually like each other. But I think the ones that are like really self-promoting it, like going on above and beyond, and I saw a lot of like people like lavish meals and stuff like that, I was like, oh god, please, like, are you posting that every single time you go for dinner? Is that the only time you have a date? Like, I just don't mm-hmm. buy into it as much. And I think, like you said, there's so many other ways to show someone you love them. And yes, it's really sweet. And I for the first time ever, and mm-hmm. he'll kill me for saying this, he hears this podcast, because he's always like, I do get these things, but he did buy me a bunch of flowers, which doesn't normally happen, I will say. So he did buy it for the first time, and I was like, what are you creeping for, was my first response. But he was just a bit like, I know we didn't normally do stuff like this, but, you know, I thought I would. And again, I didn't put that on social media because it was sort of like a private thing. And again, I don't need to brag about it because it's just something that's happened. It's nice. But when I was then going online, and I was a bit overwhelmed with it as well, because I was like, God, should, like, there's so much of it, like so much bragging almost. And I was like, all right, we get it. We love each other. Fine. But like you say, Steph, your Instagram made me lol that day with all the anti-Valentine stuff. And I was actually enjoying that more than some of the real like lovey-dovey stuff, to be fair.
What, like, say you were to be single again next Valentine's Day, so what do you think would make it easier for you to kind of get through that day and like deal with it so you wouldn't find it so triggering?
Well, one, go on holiday. No, I'm only joking.
Go to China where they don't have Facebook.
Yeah. Gosh, I think just remember that social media half the time isn't real, for one.
Mm-hmm.
And two, like, take that day to then do some self-care instead. Like, make yourself a nice meal, buy yourself some flowers, do all of that sort of stuff. Have a nice bath. Take that time and do the stuff that you love. Because at the end of the day, as RuPaul always says, if you can't love yourself, how are you going to love anybody else?
Preach. It's so true, though. It's always the way. It's so true. You have to spend the longest amount of time in this life with yourself. So, you know, it's mm-hmm. better to start loving and accepting sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. loving.
We need to start recording video on this, because everyone that's listening in has just missed Katie doing a cute little dance to everyone. So
it was cute. I do think a lot of it as well, like, we're talking about social media, but I'm going to get really like preachy and all deep on it now, but like, I think a lot of it as well is like society's expectations of what it should be as well. And I really am massively against it at the minute. And I know we've talked about this before, because of like being females and in our 30s, and people are like, there's all the questions about babies, marriage, everything else, and it's literally like back up. And I know there's a lot more support out there now to kind of counteract that, but I still see it raising its head a lot of the time. When, and Valentine's Day is a perfect example of that, where society expects people to be really in love and have this really like linear relationship where they both love each other. But we all know love is sometimes really complicated. And I think we've all been in the boat where that is the case. And And mm-hmm. sometimes when there's like idealistic view of what love is portrayed, it then makes you feel like, wow, like what I have isn't necessarily idealistic, or what I believe is idealistic is not what people are putting out there, because that's not my version of it. And I keep seeing a lot of stuff at the minute, like mm-hmm. against, there's a lot of, I guess, revulsion against it, and trying to sort of put that in another light, that we don't have to be women in our 30s that are like on this path and are with the perfect man yeah. that opens doors for us and makes, you know, mm-hmm. does all those things. It's not like that, is it? I think sometimes that's where it gets lost as well, because suddenly we go into this non-real life version of what love is, and that's what gets put all over social media. And it's like, oh, mm-hmm. like, come on, we all know it's not like that black and white. So it's probably why I have a bit of resentment for it yeah. as well.
I couldn't tell.
Like my relationship is really bad. But I just think that there's like this, yeah, it's not a linear thing. And it had like, I'm very open about the fact that mine isn't the easiest. And I think that sometimes when you get shoved those ideas in your face, you're like, oh God, should we be this type of person mm-hmm. in this relationship? And actually, that's not real. That's not what it's like for everyone. It could be like that. Some people caveating everything I say tonight so I don't get in trouble, but yeah, it's not like
that. Yeah, I agree.
I said, I'm not perfect either, and that's really hard for everyone to believe, but it's, you know, it's true.
Oh gosh, well, seeing as we've gone off on a complete tangent about stuff like we normally do, what's going on over the next couple of months for the girls? What's happening?
Good question. I am like getting really into I'm on like a bit, actually this is a subject that I'd like to bring to another podcast, just mm-hmm. about the whole body positivity movement mm-hmm. and how that has actually had a really negative effect on me. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I want to talk about that more in depth on another episode, because I think it's quite an interesting topic. Yeah. But for me, I'm very much like on a bit of a health journey at the moment, getting back into my fitness, like I love being outdoors, hiking. So yeah, just like trying to explore and be out in nature and everything as much as possible. And, you know, I'm sure once motocross gets going again, that we'll be back into the swing of all things mm-hmm. motorbikes as well. But yeah, nothing solid planned at the moment, just kind of like going with the flow, which I'm quite happy with.
Good.
Yeah. I'm really keen to dive into that with you, Katie, and I'm very excited for the next podcast now, because I see a lot of that stuff. And again, that's a social media thing, isn't it, as well? That's the big social media movement. And I agree. I don't think it's necessarily all positive, but and I'm so keen to hear everyone's opinion on that. Maybe we can do that one when we're all together. That might be quite a nice one to do. And I'm not infecting you both.
It yeah.
Would be good.
Yeah.
So on my side, I think,
yeah.
So I've done a really stupid thing. I have said out loud, I mean, it's not a shock, is it? But I have said out loud, and now I put it down in writing, that I've committed to get back into motocross racing this year. And I've not done this now before.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
We all saw it.
I made a promise to myself years ago that I wouldn't race anymore because I kept breaking bones. I just, like, I'm too old, which, again, is a whole other topic of what ageism is. And I was like, I'm too old to race now. And so many, like, young females were coming through, and I was like, I just felt suddenly like I wasn't competitive anymore, because I got to the point where I was like, I work more than I ride, and there's a lot of people that are training really hard for it. And then I was like, what the freaking hell am I worrying about? Like, I'm, you know, I don't need to go out there and win. Like, that's not really what it's about, is it? So, and loads of dudes listening to this would be like, that's exactly what it's about. Like, why would you not like race to win? But for me, I really want to prove it to myself that I could do it. So at the moment, I'm just looking at my work diary, which is mad. And I wanted to do a British champion, mm-hmm. like Lauren Collingwood put it to me the other day, to do a British championship round. And that's, I would love to do that. Mm-hmm. The tracks look really scary, but
you can do it.
I actually don't know if I can do that with the work dates. I'm just trying to juggle that. If not, I will try and do like a more, I guess, higher accoladed female event. Because I've never done them. I've always done like slightly smaller ones. Yeah. And I was like, if I don't do it this year, and I'm pretty bike fit and confident now, well, I was until I was ill, bike fit and confident now. I probably won't ever do it because something else could happen in my career. So I thought, well, I know I've got a bit of time to do it. I'm going to do it. So I signed myself up for hell with that. And that's lovely because I know I'll be really nervous. You know, like absolutely breaking it on the day. I'm not ready to do a championship series. I just want to do like one that I can say I've done it. Then for me, like work is just mad. Like as I said earlier, I work for Harley and I'm the events manager. So my diary is just event after event after event. Some of it's like really fun. Some of it's exhausting, as you know. Like you know, you guys both work in that sort of space as well, so you know what it's like. And I've just done the London show and got COVID from it. But the actual London show was brilliant, but COVID. So that's just like that's my life really. Just trying to sort of keep fit, like you said, Katie, be healthy-ish. I don't drink too much. Mm-hmm. I got into a bit of a boozy thing. You know, it's like you go. No, because it's for dinner and I'm like, I need to stop that. Or I'll do wine because I'm on the podcast and I've actually got Ribena instead tonight. So just trying to be a bit more self-care vibes, I think, is the one. Because it's very easy to run like down to our busy diaries. So that's
great. Love that.
Mm-hmm. Sophie, what about you?
Oh, God. What am I not doing this year? Well, as I said at the start of the podcast, my life has gone a bit mental, to be honest, with work especially. I landed a gig, well, it's just finished now, but I landed a gig presenting the Arena Cross, which has been unreal to do because it's been on the list for sort of 5 or 6 years to get ticked off. Done that. I'm off to Daytona in a couple of weeks with work, so that's going to do bike week. Going out there and doing some brand stuff.
Amazing.
And then just foot flat to the mat with everything, to be honest.
Where's Daytona? America?
Florida.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I thought it was somewhere in the UK.
Oh, that's the new. You've just been to New Zealand. You've prayed. Probably done.
Sounds like somewhere down south, like Cornwall, Daytona, Bristol.
Oh, I love that.
I've probably been there. To be fair, I'm not sure.
Oh my God.
Anyway,
so gone again. Oh, no, she's back.
She's back.
Hang on, we're back. Don't worry. It was just a little dip.
I was going to say, Sophie, like, how does it feel? Because obviously you've had a career, as much as you're still presenting, ultimately you've had a career change, haven't you? You've been presenting in off-road for such a long motocross for such a long time.
Mm.
And I appreciate arena crosses that still.
Mm-hmm.
But you've also gear changed it where you're doing different presenting stuff now. How does it feel to step away from mostly doing off-road and now into like a whole other avenue?
Yeah. Do you know what? It's actually been quite refreshing. Mm. And it's kind of showed me a little bit how behind the times motocross championships are or can be. I've really delved into like the road racing scene and the British superbike scene over the past year, which will be going to the TT and stuff again this year. It's honestly like it was a bit of a culture shock for a start, but not so much with BSB because my dad was a mechanic for years and that sort of stuff. So I kind of grew up in that. But going to the roads and seeing like the broadcasting there, just the mixture of everything that goes into it, it's honestly like these British championships in the motocross world especially, you need to have a little wise up, I think. I'm going to get so much trouble for saying that.
The motorcycle industry as a whole is like that anyway, and it's just moved very far. And I've spoken about it a lot in various levels, not on the podcast, but I think it's not moved forward where other areas have moved forward as much. So I thought it'd be interesting to get your perspective on it, because I know you've done it for such a long time now, and it was something you really enjoyed. But actually, to like take yourself out of your comfort zone in a way and do something where you're like, oh, actually, I'm not totally used to it. I saw from like what you were doing that you seemed to really enjoy it. So I just wondered if it actually was more like fear or actual enjoyment.
No. It was a little bit scary at the start because obviously it was a bit of a change round. But once I got into the swing of things, it's been great. Mm. So, yeah, all good fun.
Yeah, And it's good to have female representation that actually like you know, women that ride and understand bikes and that world. So that's really cool. So weirdly, something came up on my timeline today, and I don't know if it was us three that met or something at the time. I can't remember. And I swear it's something to do with us at the time. But on my Facebook timeline stage, you know, Facebook brings up the horror shows from what you've written and done over the last couple of years, which still haunts me this day. What I did 15 years ago, I don't want to see. Like, that, don't want to see that. But one thing did come up is 222. And I was like, what? And today is 22nd of the 2nd. And I'm not kidding you, ladies. All morning, yep. I was seeing 222. And you know, I talked about numbers before. I opened my phone and put like two views on Instagram stories. Then I would go into like my emails and someone's phone number would have two. And this happened today and I was like, oh my God. And I summoned, you know, I sat there and I was like, what is happening today? So then I didn't even pick the date to start with. And then I went on my little new moon thing, Kirsty Gallagher page, because I was like, she's the goddess of all of this stuff. And so today, we've obviously just had the Pisces new moon, and then today's quite significant because it's like a sort of follow-up from that. So if you look out the window, I don't know if you guys can see from where you are, but the new moon is like no longer a new moon. It's on that, oh, I should know the name of this, but I don't. It's just about to be a crescent moon. Work with that. So today the thoughts around 222 are like, what do you want to create, which is very ironic because we're doing the podcast today, very ironic. What do you want to create, achieve, and experience and do more of this year? So it's a very significant day to like set the set the mantras up, because 222 is a number of like faith and trust that everything's going to work out. So if you ever Google angel numbers, that's that's the premise of it anyway. But yeah, so on that note, it should be well, this is going to come out after the 222 day, but it's very significant that we're starting the podcast on this day. That's all I'm going to say. That's how I'm going to end it.
Love that.
Crazy. Yeah. How funny is that after we've just been having a massive like career talk? I know. That's mad.
I know. Yeah. Career talk, life change talk. It's all like from this point onwards, only say positive things. If you say something shit, it probably will happen. So just say nice things all the time for the next few weeks. So
oh gosh, so I'd say that probably rounds up the return episode, girls. What do you think?
End on the moon.
I reckon so. Yeah. End on the moon.
What was that thing you used to make Katie do at the end of the podcast? Oh,
oh my God. I knew someone was going to say that.
Oh, yeah. It was your sign off. It was your sign off.
Yeah.
Go on. You've got to get it done. But first, make sure you go onto iTunes, Spotify, anything where you listen to us and subscribe and just share and give us loads of podcast love, because that would be bloody great. Here's your cue, Katie. Go.
Bye.
Oh, it gets better every time.
Was that it? Did I perform to your standards? Yeah.
We should we should tell them that we're going to try and do one together.
Okay, so just a quick one before everyone disappears. We are going to try and actually do an in-house podcast at some point and record some video as well, so you can get us all in one place, because at the minute we record remotely. So fingers crossed
it's gonna happen. Manifestation 222 podcast live.